Thank you. The Hebrew scripture reading for this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 through 26. And it reads, "Listen to your father who gave you life. And when your mother grows old, don't neglect her. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The parents of the righteous will greatly rejoice. The parents of wise children will be proud of them. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. My child, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." There ends the scripture reading. This morning, I want to acknowledge that the words mother and motherhood can mean lots of different things for different people. For this reason, when I use the word mother this morning, I want you to think about whoever it is in your life that has represented the best of parental love in whatever form that may be. With that said, as a preacher, I feel like you pay me to do some intellectual heavy lifting. So today I'm going to tackle the hard subject of why you wouldn't want to neglect that positive source of parental love. In fact, I've got three good reasons for why you wouldn't want to neglect your mother. I'm not sure if this sermon makes my mother more relieved because I finally arrived at three reasons, or more anxious because it's taken me this long. I wouldn't be surprised if the subject of this sermon has already caused some of you to recall one of Bill Cosby's old routines. It's the one where he talks about how his father established their relationship when he was just 7 years old. His father looks at him and says, "You know, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. And it doesn't make a difference to me. I'll make another one that looks just like you." Fortunately, my mother is far more nonviolent than Cosby's father. So that's not one of my three reasons. Let me begin. Reason number one, the proper payment for love is love in return. Now that I'm about to become a parent, I must confess that I am appreciating this notion on a much more practical level. As I think about all of the energy, time, and money, college tuition, I'm about to devote to another life, I now feel on a deeper level how all of that is a form of love. And I now appreciate more than ever how much my parents loved me. With my mother, I think about all of the meals she made, spaghetti included, all of the car rides she gave, all of the football games through which she agonized over my physical safety. The list could go on and on. And that love didn't stop when I left for college. There were all of those phone calls that served as lifelines, pulling me out of whatever academic or romantic despair I found myself in. And believe me, I often found myself suffering from the latter. Probably no one was more happy that I found Unita than my mother. As I look back on all of the tangible expressions of love that my mother gave me, I ask, how can one neglect someone who has given so much? Truly, the best payment for love is love in return. Reason number two, honor the one who made you who you are. One of the most heart-touching examples of this is the story of Benjamin Carson, one of the most famous neurosurgeons alive in the world today. He was the first surgeon in the world to successfully complete various high-level procedures, including the separation of twins joined at the back of the head. He was also an early achiever. At the age of 33, he became the youngest person ever to head the pediatric neurosurgery department at Johns Hopkins Hospital. He's received over 50 honorary doctorates and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. For all of his success, Carson credits his mother. His mother raised him and his brother as a single parent in Detroit. She worked as a domestic, and it was through this work that she noticed how most of the people she saw as successful in their lives spent more time reading than they spent watching TV. With this in mind, Carson's mother restricted television time to a couple of predetermined shows, while Carson and his brother had to read two library books a week and write book reports for both. Carson's mother would then take the reports and return them with check marks and highlights. It was not until later that Carson discovered that all of this was a ruse. His mother was illiterate, with only a third grade education. Ultimately, the reading and writing assignments his mother gave not only made Carson an outstanding student, but they impacted the kind of person he could envision himself becoming. He felt between the covers of those books he could go anywhere, do anything, be anyone. Now, there was a period in high school when Carson went from being an A student to a C student who didn't care. He was hanging out with the wrong crowd and became more concerned with being hip and cool than doing well in school. One day after his mother returned home from working multiple jobs, he complained that he did not have enough Italian knit shirts. His mother responded saying, "Okay, I'll give you all the money I make this week scrubbing floors and cleaning bathrooms, and you can buy the family food and pay the bills. With everything left over, you can have all the Italian knit shirts you want." After trying this arrangement for a while, Carson had a newfound respect for his mother. He realized that she was a financial genius to be able to provide food and shelter for their family, not to speak of clothes. Soon he decided to go back to being an A student. In a lot of ways, Carson's mother made him who he is today. For this reason, he says, "My story is really my mother's story." His mother didn't have much in terms of education or money, but through the success of her parenting, she has had the effect of changing the lives of people throughout the world. For this reason, Carson declares there is no job more important than parenting. While not all of us might go on to win awards and honorary doctorates, we all have the accomplishments of our good deeds and our service to others. For becoming who we are, many of us have our mothers to thank. As Desmond Tutu has said, "Mercifully, there isn't anything like the self-made person." Reason number three: mothers deserve to be celebrated, not neglected. I told you I was going to do some intellectual heavy lifting. In addition to talking about not neglecting one's mother, our scripture reading this morning also talks about two potential aspects of the parent-child relationship that I want to highlight. First, it talks about parents rejoicing in their children. Second, it says, "My child, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Something that dawned upon me this past week is that one of the lessons my mother has taught me is, in fact, the importance of rejoicing in others, of celebrating others. What spurred my thinking was the story of Melinda Schoaf, a mother from Tennessee who now has four grown children. At breakfast after New Year's Eve a few years ago, she found herself sitting in a stupor. When her husband asked if she was okay, she responded saying that she was totally exhausted. The reason was that she had just finished another holiday season as her family's designated celebrator. That is, the one who sees to it that the holiday actually happens in the lives of loved ones. How many of you either know a designated celebrator or are one yourself? Any of you out? Yeah. Oh, all right. Let's give a round of applause for designated celebrators. All right. I know in my family, the designated celebrator is my mother. We do our best to help out, but she's the one baking cakes for birthdays. She's the one who, to this day, still sends me cookies for Halloween and Easter. She's the one who decorates the house, cooks the meals, and buys a lot of the presents for every Christmas. My mother is the queen of Christmas, and we all love her for it. As soon as Christmas is over, we are already looking forward to the next Christmas. Well, Melinda Schoaf is a lot like my mother. She says, "It's as if I'm driven by the ancient need to mark the darkness of winter with my little bit of light." Her kind and sympathetic husband, however, still struggles to understand why she puts herself through all the hard work and effort every year. To this, she says, I believe one of the most important things I can do while I'm on this planet is honor those I love through celebrations. She goes on to say, I believe that in this world there is and always has been so much sadness and sorrow, so much uncertainty, that if we didn't take time aside for merriment, gifts, music, and laughter with family and friends, we might just forget to celebrate altogether. We'd just plod along in life. I'd go so far as to say that designated celebrators, the ones who are among us, are also role models for church life as well. Churches are places where we gather to affirm the life God has given to us, to celebrate that life. We need that time together. We need that bit of light within these walls when the world out there might not always give it to us. Designated celebrators are a gift from God to all of us. They're examples of service and dedication. This Mother's Day, don't neglect your mother. Celebrate your mother. For some, this might even mean taking time to celebrate the celebrator. Amen.